Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Donald Trump has created a judicial legacy by appointing and having confirmed over 200 federal judges on the various courts, including two before the United States Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this and the difference that constitutionalist judges make in deciding cases. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. You know, this is unprecedented in terms of the number of judges. In fact, in 3.5 years, President Donald Trump has had more judges confirmed to the federal courts than President Obama did in 8 years.
I think that's his theme, Matt. Unprecedented. Everything he's doing is unprecedented.
It's unprecedented.
It's amazing.
It makes a big difference, I can tell you that, because there's a big difference between those that are constitutionalist and those that are not, those that are originalist and those that are not. What I mean by that is those who will look at the original words, meaning, and intent of the Constitution and other laws that they're interpreting and confine themselves within that meaning as opposed to beginning with that, jettisoning it, and then imposing their own ideology.
Right.
Makes a big difference.
For example, like our district judge in California, not a Trump appointee, and they write opinions, for example, he did, trying to find excuses, so to speak, for the churches not to meet instead of looking at the Constitution and the First Amendment and the right and the church's right to exist, whereas these other businesses don't.
Yeah, the judge in our California case was appointed by President Obama.
Right.
And
there you go.
That particular judge seemed to have no interest in the constitutional issues. And when I made the argument that, well, the governor is not only encouraging but blessing these thousands, tens of thousands in Hollywood, California, 100,000 protesters jammed, I'm talking about shoulder to shoulder, back to front, jammed for long, long distances, singing, chanting, shouting. The governor says, God bless you, keep doing it. But at the same time, he says, but you people that want to worship, no, that's not for you. First Amendment's not for you. And you cannot worship. The judge, the Obama-appointed judge, just is like, he doesn't even want to consider that.
Right.
It's a big difference. In fact, we have an Obama-appointed judge in our case in Kentucky. And when we filed that suit on behalf of the church there, Maryville Baptist Church, the judge denied our request on a Saturday night. And then he got reversed twice at the Court of Appeals, 3-0. And then he ended up having gotten reversed twice at the Court of Appeals, Holly. He ended up having to come back and rule in our favor. He had no choice. He's the only Obama judge in the entire country in all of these church cases that has ruled in favor of the church. But it's only because he got reversed twice, 3-0, at the Court of Appeals.
Right. And so we've had Trump-appointed judges. Big difference, right?
Big, big difference, yeah. One of the early decisions is a Trump-appointed judge out of Louisville, Kentucky. Powerful decision, quoting the scripture. And, you know, there's been others as well. But it's a big difference. I can tell you that the legacy that President Donald Trump will have will be decades. Because what he has done is a couple of things that are unique. Completely different than previous Republican governors, or I should say presidents, before him. And that is, he has chosen judges that are young. Judges, some of those that are in their late 30s, 40s, early 50s. And in fact, early on, one of the judges, he was talking to some of his advisors, a person he thought would be a great judge, and he was discussing this person would be a great judge, and he was asked by some of his advisors, but that judge is in the you know, mid-60s. We need to have some younger judges. And the reason for that is they want longevity on the bench. So that's number one. He's chosen people that are younger but have proven track records. That's one. Number two, and this is the critical part, no matter the age, he's chosen people that have a commitment to originalism and the understanding of the Constitution and the text of the statute.
Which is what their job is to do.
And that's
it's not to
biggest.
Create laws like these activist judges that we're seeing, these Obama judges, et cetera. They're trying to make laws instead of follow the Constitution.
And it's not just the Obama judges. You know, for example, you look at what George W. Bush did, and he appointed some people on the Supreme Court that were very activists, David Souter. Even President Ronald Reagan appointed Kennedy, and he appointed Sandra Day O'Connor, and they were very pro-abortion and activists in that particular situation. And the reason for that is sometimes they would appoint because they wanted a woman in Reagan's case, and that's why he chose Sandra Day O'Connor from Arizona, or some senator in the political system would say, you know, there's a friend of mine. I'd like for you to consider him to appoint. And so they would do it. They wouldn't look at the history of their judicial philosophy. They looked at a different lens. President Trump is looking at judicial philosophy, and that makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we, it's an actually an enjoyable situation when you argue a case, brief a case, write the legal arguments on a case, and you have somebody who's just going to follow the law. But it's frustrating when you are before a judge that will not follow the law.
And tries to skirt around it.
Yeah. So, for example, you know, it's like, I've said this before, the illustration, you're a mathematician, right? You want to study math, higher math. You want to solve incredibly complex problems. So now you're studying for your PhD degree. Maybe you're defending your PhD dissertation on some very complicated matter. And the person that is behind the desk that you're defending before has the ability to grant or deny your PhD degree. And they start off, and they start now questioning you when you want to go into the higher complex problems about whether 2 plus 2 equals 4. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. Obviously, it equals 4. But they want you to believe it can equal 5 or 6. And they don't really care about the rules of mathematics. And if they ultimately have the ultimate say and the final power over you, it becomes very frustrating because there's a destruction of the actual basis, the foundation of mathematics that you've dedicated your life to learn.
Right.
It's the same thing in the area of law as well. And so that's where it becomes very frustrating when you get somebody who's a judicial activist who really doesn't care about what the law is.
And you look at the high court. They've legalized abortion. They've legalized murdering unborn children. They've legalized same-sex marriage, all because you had those types of justices on the high court.
Yeah, all because of that, and because of some, you know, originally 7-2 decision on abortion in 1973, then it went dwindled down to 5-4 in 1992. In fact, originally the vote was 5-4 to reverse Roe versus Wade, the abortion decision, and then 30 days later, Kennedy flipped, changed his mind under pressure from Souter and O'Connor, and it became a 5-4 to uphold Roe versus Wade. And then you have the 5-4 same-sex marriage decision. None of that's in the Constitution.
Absolutely.
None
not.
Of it is in the Constitution. And the consequences are significant. Well, continue to pray for our cases because we're representing churches all over the country. We have a case that we're working on right now in Colorado that will be filed this week. And we'll talk more about that on a subsequent Faith and Freedom program. In addition to that case, we have 5 other cases pending in federal courts in Virginia, Kentucky, Maine, Illinois, and California, and now this one in Colorado. But in addition to those cases, we have lots of pastors. We've, over the several months this summer, have talked with a couple thousand pastors in churches through various means, helping them through all of these restrictions that they are laboring under. In some cases, like in Florida, one of our early cases where the pastor was arrested, a few days later, 2 days later, actually, the governor, as a result of that situation, opened up all of the counties and cities and overrode all the church restrictions in the entire state. And from that moment on, churches have been free to worship.
And considered essential, which they are.
And attendance is also considered essential, right, at these churches and houses of worship. So thank you for standing with us. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Sign up for our emails at lc.org. Hit the subscribe button, and you can learn more about our resources there as well. You can also go to the Churches tab, where we have information about churches and how to open churches and why it's essential to do so, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.